Welcome to the Being Resilient podcast with your host, Stephanie Olson. Hello, I'm Stephanie Olson, and I am so excited to start our resilience podcast with a special guest, Marie Gould. And I am so excited to have her here. Now, true confession here, I've known Marie for years because she is a fantastic hairdresser. And so I just want to say Marie is a rock star, but I'm going to let Marie tell her own story. So welcome, Marie. I'm so glad you're with us.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. I so appreciate the opportunity to be featured on your podcast. It's really an honor to get to do this with you. And again, yes, full disclosure, I love you. So I'm a little biased. But, you know, you're just an amazing person and I love all the work you're doing. So I'm excited to be a part of this and see what happens with it. It's going to be great.
Well, you as well. We have a lot to talk about. So let's start. I'm just going to really open the floor up to you. And, you know, we talk about resilience in life and leadership. And that is you all over the place. Talk about somebody who has taken trauma in their life and taken some of the downs and the negatives and turned them into really, really positive things. So why don't you just share a little bit about your story?
Absolutely. Well, resiliency is something that I think you just decide you're going to do it. It's not something you obtain. It's not something that you have all the time. It's a choice you make each situation. And so in my case, I grew up here in Omaha, Nebraska, just middle class. Through the course of my childhood, our family endured a health crisis. My dad had a health crisis, and that caused a huge shift in my home life. And financial shift, emotional shift, everything kind of just changed. And when that happened, it impacted my self-image and self-worth and started me on a trajectory that caused me to make a lot of decisions that were really difficult. And probably in some people's eyes and society's eyes, not good decisions. I ended up being a teen mom, having children while not married, ended up in the welfare system, but then made a decision one day that if I didn't make a change, I was going to be stuck there and started on the path of going to beauty school and putting myself through school and working my way out of the welfare system and into a career. So that was the beginning of the resiliency of saying, you know what, I'm going to choose not to stay in this place. I'm going to go another direction. But that was when I was in my 20s. By the time all that happened, I was in my 20s. And so through the next several years, you know, life happens. We're parents, we get married, things, you know, don't always go the way we think they're going to go. And I had a lot of ups and downs through that. And it really required me to make a decision that I was going to keep going on a daily basis. There were years where I was very depressed. I was very distraught, feeling hopeless, feeling stuck. And it was only by getting up and deciding I want something different that things started to change.
So I love that because it really is a choice. And yet there are times when it feels like there is no choice. Did you ever, how do you reconcile those two things with your story?
Yeah. So reconcile is the word I like for that, because there were years that it seemed like this is what it is. And I'm going to have to just keep pressing this direction to make things happen. And I would try and I would try and things would not work. And I would try and things would get better and then they would get worse. And you know how that is. It feels like you take two steps forward and then you take two steps, three steps, four steps back, and you don't even know how to go forward anymore. Yes. It's just, it's cyclical and it is exhausting. It's mentally exhausting. It's physically exhausting. It can be financially exhausting depending on your situation. It wasn't until I, through the help of of course, some therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't deny, right? therapy is important. I sometimes say only crazy people don't go, you know?
That's what I just said yesterday. Exactly.
Yeah. Because I mean, it really helps you ground your perspective. And through years of working with a really qualified therapist to help me to break through layers of pain and hurt and years of loss and years of disappointment and failure and shame, that I was able to really ground down and say, you know what, I need to understand and start to accept who I am. And this is my journey. And this is what has happened in my life. And I don't have to be ashamed of it because it's my life. It's my journey. And I think that's a place where a lot of us can get really stuck. So that was the pivotal place for me to be able to say, okay, I am now going to choose to accept and love the journey that I've had. And I'm going to use that to learn to love myself in a greater way, in a more profound way, so that I don't get blindsided by feeling shame and embarrassment when I talk about my life or when I share my life. And that in itself is what opened the door for me to start to go forward. It really was fundamental, breaking it down and saying, I choose to accept all the good, the bad, the ugly, the shameful, the loss, the excellence, the triumphs, every bit of it, the good, the bad, together, and say, that's my journey. Yeah. And that's the juice that gives me the power to accept who I am and go forward and create life that I want to have.
And that's what makes you strong. Yes. I think that is the dichotomy of mental health and the stigma. Because if we were really honest with everybody, most of us deal with some sort of issue that is mental health related, or that is just, you know, whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression, whatever it is. And yet we're not talking about it as openly as we should. And there is shame and stigma behind it, and there should not be. And so I love that you are just so open about your story, and that it's not about shame. It's about who you are. And I think that's the triumph, right? That's the overcoming. And it doesn't happen overnight. And it's not, I mean, it's a consistent journey, but that's what's huge.
Yes, it really is. And it really becomes the foundation that you can stand on for yourself.
Right.
In identifying your own self-worth and the value that you bring to the table as an individual. Right. For me, I had to sit down and actually start speaking out loud to myself. Hey, you know what? I have 5 children, and my 5 children have different dads.
Yeah.
I went through some trauma when I was a young person. Right. I didn't go through things that other people went through, but psychologically, I wasn't in a good place. And I made choices because I was looking to be affirmed and to be loved in places that weren't really giving that to me.
Right. Right.
And it wasn't until I said, I deserve better than this, and I'm okay with who I am, and started really doing that just myself. I don't run down the street and tell people, hey, everybody, guess what? This is me. Ha ha ha. Like it or leave it. You know, I don't do that. But at the same time, if it comes up in a discussion, I don't have to be bound by that shame anymore, because I have truly loved and accepted the fact that that's the juice in my journey.
That's right.
That's what's giving me the strength and the foundation to stand up every day and look at myself and be like, you know what? I like myself.
I love that. I love
other days I might not see. You don't feel it all the time.
No, no.
You don't feel it all the time.
No.
But it changes everything when you really get seriously honest with yourself about your journey and accept your journey yourself.
That's right. And that's when you can use your story and your journey to actually help other people.
Yes.
Because, and it's, you know, I think that it is so important to recognize, first of all, your kids are amazing.
They're good human beings. I'm very proud of them. Oh,
they really are. And you've got amazing grandkids that are
Those grandbabies.
I know. They're not, I swear, they're getting bigger every day.
Yeah, it's really God's gift for not killing your children.
That's right. Yeah. So just Marie and I are like this all the time. We just know each other's thinking and we are right there in it. Yeah. So now you are doing some really exciting new things with your life, with your work, and there's some exciting new things coming out. Talk about that.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I just launched my first book. It actually published yesterday on Amazon and Kindle. It's called Love Thirst, The Journey from Broken. It's a spiritual journey from broken to beautiful. And it's autobiography. It chronologically orders events in my life, primarily the years of when I was having my kids and going through the choices that I was making regarding having my kids. I have three boys and two girls. And during the course of my journey in becoming a parent with them, I had to make some hard choices. And those choices included placing two of my sons for adoption. And that is something that the world applauds because people have a positive outlook on adoption, but they don't always have a positive outlook on the single mom who's making that hard choice.
So true.
And so I'm very candid about the wound that caused in making that decision, not a wound in terms of regret, because I knew I was making the right decision for my sons and for my other children at the time. But it was a heartbreak. And that heartbreak leaves a scar on your heart. And it took years to really come to a place where I could say, yeah, this happened.
Right.
And it's okay.
Right.
And I don't have to be ashamed of it anymore. So in my book, I talk about that. I talk about my spiritual journey. I practiced Christianity for the better part of my adult life. And through some changes in things, I walked away from actually practicing Christianity. I do still believe in God, but I have a different perspective on God and the universe. And that change in perspective has given me what I've needed to heal and grow. Mm-hmm. Everybody's path is different. I by no means would shame people for choosing to practice Christianity or to be involved in church or ministry. I will not do that because that was a pivotal part of my life for a season.
Right.
But now I'm just in a different place spiritually, and it's given me the opportunity to heal in a different way. I think we have to evolve and grow as we go on our journey, and it's shifted. So I talk about that in my book also, and I'm very, very excited for people to be able to read it.
Well, and I've read parts of it. I haven't read the full final version yet. And let me just say, it is a phenomenal book. I personally could not put it down.
And oh, thank you.
I don't say that about books very often, but it was a really captivating story. And so I encourage everybody to go read it. We will put all of Marie's information, where to find her, where to get that book, in this, the comments of the podcast, and we'll make sure that you have access to all of that. But yeah, I think that Marie, your journey is so important because of the fact that you openly embrace it. And I think that's what so many people don't do. Is there anything that you would want to really say to the audience about resilience and where you have been and where you are today? And that you haven't already said, and something that just really, what is one thing you would share with the audience to really just let them know the really number one key piece that you would want them to walk away with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I would say the number one most important factor that had the greatest impact on me being able to walk through and heal from the shame that I carried over my past was how I think and talk to myself. Mm-hmm. I had to sit down and really start developing different habits about what I thought about, what I thought about myself, and how I spoke to myself. Because I had developed very self-critical and self-depleting mentalities. I'm naturally perfectionistic, which is a good and bad thing.
It's very good for me when you're doing my hair. So yes.
but not always good for you. I get analysis paralysis, or there's a factor of perfectionism for me that if I can't hit the mark the way I have perceived I'm supposed to hit the mark, I have a hard time doing anything. Mm-hmm. And so I would loop in these patterns of, well, you know, you need to fold the laundry, but you haven't vacuumed and you haven't done this, as an analogy. You haven't done all these things. So, and then I would be crippled.
Right.
And so the way I thought and talk to myself, you should go for a walk and work out, but you just ate a piece of cake for breakfast. Why would you even take a walk? Because it's pointless now. You already ate the cake.
It's all or nothing.
Yeah, it's that mentality that I had to literally dismantle thought by thought. And it takes intention. You really have to set your intention to, I'm going to be kind to myself. I'm going to talk to myself the way I would talk to a stranger. Mm-hmm. I mean, I stand behind the chair professionally as a hairstylist, and my customers don't see that side of me. They don't see that debilitating thinking that I talk, and I don't talk to them like that. I wouldn't speak to them like that. I wouldn't say the things that I say to myself to my friends or my family or my children or loved ones or even a stranger on the street.
Right.
So I had to start looking at myself as someone who I care about, who I'm going to speak kindness to, who I'm going to speak acceptance to, who I'm going to speak love to. And through that intentional daily moment, minute by minute, thought by thought process of developing a discipline to say, no, I'm not going to speak like that to myself. I choose to say, you know what? You're doing a really good job. You made your bed today.
Yeah.
And that is really good. I'm proud of you. You're making progress. It sounds so simple and it sounds so elementary, but it takes that step by step to change the way you think. And only by changing the way you think is your life going to change.
That's right. Well, and I think sometimes too, people think there's the all or nothing mentality on healing as well. And so some people think, all right, so I've got to talk to myself in a certain way, and I've done really good this week, and I didn't do well the next week. So I guess I'm not, doing well. And I think people have this idea that it's a consistent journey. I mean, we are not going to be strong and healthy all of the time, every day.
No.
And so how do you do that when you're doing really well, telling yourself how amazing you are, and then you have, kind of a fall and you think, oh my gosh, whatever. Yeah. How do you get back?
Yeah. Well, it's not something that you achieve. You have to understand that healing is not something that is achieved. Right. And that was something that I learned after I kind of walked away from the spiritual practices that I had before, because I would pray and think and try and do things to bring what I perceived healing was into my life and expected it to show up and be complete. Mm-hmm. And it's never complete. It's a journey that you're on, and you get the opportunity to change your trajectory by what you think. And so the biggest change in how I thought about that was grace.
Yes.
I had to start to give myself grace to say, yeah, I'm not doing so good right now. Then I had to develop the skills to say, okay, what can I do to get back on track?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes it might be that I can only do one thing.
Yeah.
And that one thing might be, I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to listen to some music I like. I'm going to use some things to do some affirmations for myself. I have some tools I use that help to recenter my thinking. There's plenty of tools out there that you can get that can say, you know what? I choose to speak to myself in kindness. I choose to say, it doesn't matter how many times I didn't hit the mark. It matters that I hit it this one time.
That is huge. That is huge.
Yeah. Because I miss the mark a lot.
Yeah.
I mean,
we all do. We all do.
Yeah.
And I think so often we're looking at our worst and we're comparing it to other people's best. Yes. And that is a killer because we can't, I mean, we have social media and we're seeing all these positive things. Oh my gosh, you've got the best family. Your mm-hmm. kids never do anything wrong. Your husband always brings you flowers. You've got mm-hmm. you go on these great vacations. Well, we're looking at our worst and comparing it to their best. And I think we do that in every aspect of life. And so somebody might be watching you and reading your book and looking at your journey and saying, wow, that she's amazing. She's mm-hmm. done all this. I wish I could do that, but I can't do that. But it's mm-hmm. you're saying it's we're not ever arrived. It's that journey.
It is literally that. And the sooner you can give yourself permission to live moment by moment,
yeah,
to embrace the times as healthy when you don't hit the mark, because that's a part of the learning. That's a part of the releasing. That's the part of the exposing more of yourself to yourself. As soon as you can, the sooner that you can really embrace that, it gets easier. It's like trying to make a wheel turn. So you're pushing, like picture like on a ship, the wheel that guides the rudder for the boat. Okay. So you start to do it and things are turbulent and crazy around you and you start to turn that and it is hard to do. It might only move an inch. It might only move 2 inches, but the more you apply that pressure and say, no, I am going to choose this. I have sticky notes I leave all over the place. It's like, you are doing a good job. You are on track. You are making progress. You did great when you put the dishes away. I mean, like that's my biggest thing is like, I can't seem to keep my kitchen together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't understand what it is, but I can't keep my, okay, everybody, it's all public knowledge now. I can't keep my kitchen together. It's like this nemesis I cannot achieve, you know? And it's like, okay, so you didn't get the dishes done. It's okay. Be nice to yourself.
We all have our things, right?
Yeah.
We all have our things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And accept that and be okay with it.
Exactly.
Somebody else has something else. Somebody else, you know, never folds their laundry. Oh, wait, I struggle with that too. Anyway, yeah, you know, it's like, I can't keep up, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It made me a terrible person. I don't need to talk bad about myself to myself.
No. And it's giving yourself grace. And frankly, I mean, we can look at somebody who is all together in our minds and they probably don't have their laundry done either. I mean, it is just, it's okay. And I will never forget when I was, I had my first kiddo and I was just drowning. I mean, it was just overwhelming. I felt like I needed to be the super mom and get all of this stuff done. And I have to make sure my baby's happy. And then I've got to make sure that the house is clean and I've got to make sure all the things, you know? Mm-hmm. And, my husband, Eric, said, you don't need to do that. Do one thing today. That's it. And maybe that thing is a shower. I mean, maybe right. like, oh my gosh, I got a shower at 3 o'clock yeah. today. I'm a rock star.
Yeah.
So it's all perspective, and I love that you've got to give yourself grace.
Yeah, it 100% is. I mean, there were many, many days going into years where I didn't take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
I was trapped in depression.
Right.
I would be home during the day because I've been a hairdresser for a long time. I worked for myself, so I worked my own schedule. So there were days when I wouldn't have to work, and I would be home literally in bed all day until the alarm went off at around 3:15 so I could get up, throw my clothes on, and look like I've done something with the day when my children got home.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, look like I made, you know, make dinner and have things looking that way. So when my husband got home, it looked like I wasn't in bed all day.
Right. Right.
No one knew that.
Right.
You know, it's very debilitating when you're stuck.
Yeah.
And there's only one way to get unstuck, and that's to change the way you think and change the way you talk to yourself.
And that's hard to do.
It is very, very hard to do. Mm-hmm. It takes intention.
Yes. Yes.
You have to decide you're going to do it. And it's a decision that happens moment by moment. It's not, okay, it's Monday morning, and this week, my intention is I'm going to be nice to myself. And no, it's like Wednesday at 2:45, I feel like I am just screwing everything up in my life, and I've failed again, and I still can't get this right, and I still can't get that right, but I'm going to choose to find something to tell myself I did it well.
I love that. I love that. That is great. Well, how can people find you?
Well, I'm just launching I don't want to call it coaching, and I don't want to call it motivational speaking. I call it inspirational speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so my social media is Marie Gould Inspires, Facebook and Instagram. And then I am launching my website. It should be up soon, mariegouldinspires.com. I try to put out daily content of inspiration. Again, we're not being perfectionistic. So if I miss a day, don't y'all come for me, okay?
I'm just going to let you do that and share your content. So I'm just not even going to put in the effort.
Because we know how it is when you're trying to do that. Some days life gets in the way. But
yeah,
I'm trying to just share. And really, it's I'm just willing to be transparent. You know, some days it sounds like, oh my gosh, I'm on top of the world. You can do this. You can do this. And then there's other days I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I want to be real about that. I really want to be transparent and vulnerable, because I think that's what is going to break through most people's thinking, is to understand you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
And more people are like you than not, probably. Right.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, like you said, social media has us all kind of fooled to thinking people have everything together in their life.
Right.
And they click send on the post or publish on the post, and they turn around and they cry.
Right.
Because they really may not have it all together, and their world may be crumbling. And I think the more transparent and more vulnerable we can be, the more our journey is going to be valuable.
Yeah.
Because your journey, when you share your story, that's what makes it, when it helps somebody, that's what makes it all worthwhile.
That's right. And it doesn't have to be a room full of people. That can be somebody right in front of you that just needs to hear at that mm-hmm. moment,
yeah.
you are worthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have really found, like, I used to always say, you know, if you see me out in public and I look like I've got RBF, it's because I'm so focused. No, it's because I'm so focused inward on my own
yes.
feeling of inadequacy or pain or loss or whatever, that I'm not able to give out anything.
Right.
And once I started to really work on myself and really loving and caring myself, I see people differently now.
Mm.
I can be sensitive to the prompting that says, tell the checker at the grocery store you're doing a good job.
Mm, that's good.
Because who knows why she needs to hear it.
That's right. That's
you know, right. The years when I was a single mom putting myself through beauty school, and I didn't have a car, and I was driving, or I was riding the bus for 2 hours to get to work, and then riding the bus home, walking 6 blocks, having a cab meet me at the daycare to take us all the rest of the way home. People saying, you're doing a good job. Yeah. I'm proud of you. Carried me.
Yeah. It doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't. But it, and I'm not able to give that back unless I've given it to myself.
That's right.
The analogy is you need to fill your own cup first. And you really do.
Yeah.
And until you like your cup, it's hard to fill it.
That's right. That's right. Well, I love this. I have loved this conversation. What's the name of your book?
My book is called Love Thirst, A Spiritual Journey from Broken to Beautiful.
That's fantastic. And I just love, I love being a part of your journey, even if a little behind the scenes. I think it is
you have
amazing.
Yes, you have been a great encouragement and friend to me, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I'm just so glad that we got to do this today, and I would love for you to be on again.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. I'd be honored.
Well, Marie, thank you so much. And best of luck to everything that you are doing with your inspirational speaking and your book. And I would highly recommend you all go out and purchase it. Mm-hmm. And we will make sure that we put in the links where you can get it and how to access anything about Marie that you can possibly get. So thank you so much, Marie. We appreciate it. And thank you for listening to Resilience. Have a great day.
Thank you.